Great book so far, huh? Little book, but there is a lot packed into that book. Jude 1 through 4, we're going to read Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why? For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, men came in, and I use this word this morning, they were antinomialist. They came in and they were saying that, you know what, you're saved, now it doesn't matter how you live. They were turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, which is lust, irregular adult indulgences, that kind of thing. It was basically complete sinful living, and it doesn't matter because it's all grace. Now, we'll get there another week. Today, we're going to look at certain creeping men. Certain creeping men, and trust this will just be a help to help us to be aware that there are people in the world that oppose the truth of the Word of God. They are not always overt and obvious. Sometimes they crept in. They didn't walk in and say, I am completely opposed to the faith. That's not the way it works. They crept in. So let's pray and we'll look at the message tonight. Father, I pray that you would help us. God, I pray that we would pattern ourselves after the Lord Jesus Christ and after New Testament saints. And Father, I pray that we would stay away from this creeping idea of bringing in false doctrine and irregular things. God, I pray that we would contend for the faith. Father, we're contending for something. But in the contending for something, we have to be contending also against something. And Father, I pray that you would help us tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I want to first of all notice how true believers work. Because, you know, we have to set the standard before we go into the creeping men. John chapter 18, I want you to notice two things that the Lord Jesus Christ said about his ministry. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, being our example. And the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 18, verse 19 through 21. Now, we're turning to Scripture tonight. We had a bunch that we just read this morning. Tonight, we're turning. But for the most part, once we get into the several in a row, we're going to go book by book by book, and you'll be able to keep up. So John 18, 19 through 21, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake how? Openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I done nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. Jesus Christ is making a statement here. He's saying, I did not hide my doctrine. My doctrine was wide open. It was out in the clear. It was truth. I am not opposed of truth. Now, the fact is, Jesus Christ knew everything there was to know about the Word of God because Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. He knows it all. And Jesus Christ understood every word of God. There are times when we look at something and we deal with things occasionally in institute, and a couple times they have said, this is the best that I can do with a passage. And sometimes that's the way it is. We do the best that we can do with a passage. But you know what? Our doctrine ought to be bold and open and forward. Okay, especially when it's very clear in the Scripture. And look, if there's a couple of options, then lay out that there's a couple of options. That we're okay. You know what? Some people feel this way. Some people feel this way on this passage. Okay, That's fine, but we need to be open and clear in our statements. Acts 26, Acts chapter 26. Let's notice the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Verse 24 through 26. Acts 26, 24 through 26. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call thee." He hoped that he should be... Did I tell you chapter 24? I told you chapter 24. I'm reading chapter 24, verse 24. It's supposed to be chapter 26, verse 26. Like, okay, I've got it written down right. I just didn't read it right. Acts 26, 24 through 26. I'm like, I'm looking for a certain phrase and it's not showing up. And no, but verse, here we go. 24, as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth," what? "The words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner." Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul said, look, we're not hiding our doctrine. We're not hiding what we stand for. We're not hiding what we believe in. That is the opposite of these people in Jude that crept in. Hey, let's get some people over here. Hey, you know what? I think that God actually just chose who he was going to save and chose to send some people to hell. You know what? Look at this verse here. And that would be the doctrine of Calvinism. And I have seen many creeping Calvinists in my life. You know, we have to watch out for creeping men. So let's look at this. These creeping men, this was current at the time. This is not just warning us of something that would happen eventually. These men crept in unawares at that time, early on, twisting around the grace of God. It was current at the time, and it has been current and stayed current ever since. These men are referred to, go back to Jude. These men are referred to, in verse 4, it introduces them. There are certain men crept in unawares. Verse 8, it says, these filthy dreamers. Verse 10 says, these speak evil of those things. Verse 11 says, they have gone. Verse 12 says, these are spots. Verse 16 says, these are. Verse 19 says, these be they. Verse 4 through verse 19 of the book of Jude are describing certain men who crept in unawares, and Jude is revealing these certain men. He's revealing their doctrines. He's revealing who they follow after. He's revealing how they work. He's revealing their operational standards in this next set of verses. Now, the fact that he takes three verses written to the Christians at the beginning and 5 verses at the end. And then in the middle, he takes this huge chunk. He's like, there is a problem that needs to be addressed by the saints. We need to be earnestly contending because certain men are creeping in. Now, so current at the time, they're referred to throughout verse 4 through 19. These men are subtle in their approach. They slip it in. They might test you on their doctrine just a little bit. Hey, you know, what do you think about this? And it's in a hushed tone, a little bit of a whisper, pulling somebody off to the side, talking about a false doctrine or seeing where you're at. Can I manipulate this person? Look, we dealt with this one time. There was a guy that was coming and attended for quite some time. And I found out that he was trying to talk to people secretly about just being about a post-tribulational rapture. And ultimately, he then displayed himself in front of the whole congregation. I'm sure many of you remember that. On the way home, I was about terrified because he declared himself to be God the Father, and he was sitting in my car. And I'm like, Lord, I'm in here too. If you want to strike, make sure you get the back seat. But first, boy, he was a creeper. And talking a little bit here, talking a little bit there, trying to get that. Matthew 7:15, you don't have to turn there. It says this, Jesus speaking, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." These people, they creep. A vine planted at the bottom creeps up a wall or a tree. It is a slow-moving thing most of the time, unless they're morning glories. They move fast. But they creep up, little bit at a time, little bit at a time. You think of that definition of creeping. Also, you could look at a bed bug. Boy, they get in the front door and they creep. Where are they going to end up? At the bed. But they're creeping along. It might take them two nights to get there, but they're going to get there. They're creeping along the floor until they arrive. These men operate behind the scenes. Lurking would be a good word to describe them. Undermining the truth of the Word of God. Undermining possible teachers and preachers. Undermining the facts, the faith that we are built upon. Let's look, because this warning is not just given in Jude. I want to read a few passages. We're going to let the scripture speak for itself significantly here tonight. Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. Verse 28 through 31. And I want you just pay attention to the wording of each of these passages that we're going to read. We'll notice this was a significant problem then. How much more so do you think it is now? "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears." The Apostle Paul was on a mission to this church, and that mission, but he had 3 years, and he's like, "I'm going to teach night and day. I'm going to teach and preach, and I'm hoping that you are grounded because I'm leaving now. And when I leave, I know what's going to happen. There's going to be people come in from without. There's going to be people rise up from within, and they are going to speak." Now, you notice here he calls it perverse things. It'll go right along with Jude. Lasciviousness, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. You know what? Those standards, they don't matter. You don't have to be pure. It doesn't matter. It's all under grace. You're saved. You got your ticket to heaven. Live it up. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 16 through 18. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more" what? Okay. You know what? Let's just stick to pure, plain scripture. Other stuff leads to ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. 2 Timothy 3, 5 and 6. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Oh yeah, I'm saved. Well, does the word of God, is it quick and powerful? Does it convict? Does it change lives? Oh, you know what? I got my ticket to heaven. That's all that matters. It says, from such turn away, and then it goes on to warn further, for of this sort are they which creep into houses. You notice the word creep there again. Creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust. Again, you're seeing a level of perversion that takes place. Here they're creeping into women's houses, all kinds of things going on. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. See, while God, while in these same books, the preachers are preaching for purity and for modesty and for righteousness, you got people creeping in and saying, none of that matters. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 2 through 4, the Apostle Paul to the church of Corinth. I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband. What's the picture you get here? He's like, I am in charge of this young lady. It is my goal, it is my desire that she walk down that aisle pure and right and clean. I am going to deliver her to the groom. And God has given me charge of her. It is my duty before God to make sure that that young lady walks down pure. Is that a strong charge given to somebody? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It's serious business. And he says that I may present you as a chaste virgin. That is not chaste as in running after. It is chaste as in pure. A chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He says, I fear that the doctrine of the simplicity of salvation is going to be corrupted. He says, I fear, verse 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with it. He says, I'm afraid if someone comes and introduces you another Jesus that you're going to follow him. I'm afraid that if someone comes and says, you know what, Jesus was a hippie with long hair and he doesn't care how you live, I'm afraid that you're going to go after that Jesus. It's definitely not the Jesus. It's not the Holy Son of God and God the Son. But there's a whole lot of another Jesus being taught in our society today. He says, I fear that you're going to receive another spirit. You know, Church of Corinth, first charismatic church, if you will. You know, not the Holy Spirit, but this spirit of holy laughter rolling around on the floor, this spirit of tongues, this spirit of slain in the spirit, all of these false spirits. He says, I'm afraid for you, or another gospel. I'm afraid the Seventh-day Adventists are going to knock on your door. And they're going to say, you know, yeah, Jesus does save, but then we have to keep ourselves saved by keeping the Sabbath. Or something along that line. He says, I'm afraid. He says, and I desire to present you pure. I desire that the church of Corinth is going to be pure and right. And look, read through all of 1 Corinthians and all of 2 Corinthians. Was that church being corrupted from within and without? Oh boy, the attacks were hard. Verse 13 through 15, same chapter. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. What do you got here? Those creeping men. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. He said, there are going to be some people creeping in, trying to tell you that you can live however you want, and it doesn't matter. 2 Corinthians 12:21, just another page or so over. He says, unless when I come again, my God will humble me among you, that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the, what? Uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. What do you got here? Creeping men trying to turn you away from the holiness of God, about what the true grace of God teaches. And saying, you know what? It doesn't matter if you commit fornication. It doesn't matter if you're improper with the opposite gender. It does not matter how you live and what you do. And he says, I'm going to come. And he says, I'm afraid of what I'm going to find. I'll tell you what. You walk into a lot of churches today. You walk into places that call themselves Christian. It's scary what you find. It is a fearful thing in our day. And Jude warned about it. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. It says, but neither Titus, who was with me being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, and the truth of the gospel might continue with you. He said, we had some people literally, they were spying on Titus in such a way as to see whether or not he was circumcised, and they wanted to compel him to be circumcised because they were trying to compel the Jewish laws. Creepers. Verse 5. Again, what does it say? We gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. They said, stop the creeping. The creeping is unacceptable. You know, you cannot bring the law in and tie it to salvation. You cannot take what was given specifically to the Jews that was nailed to the cross. It was never for the Gentiles. You can't force that upon the Gentiles and require that as a means of salvation. He said, we can't put up with that. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. You look at this. How many passages in the Bible are seeing this? How many churches were dealing with this? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily, get that word? Privily. Privately, creepers, privately, privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Okay, you can go on one side and turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. You can go on the other side and say, you know, well, Jesus wasn't enough. We have to add works. And bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Pernicious means destroying or injuring ways. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now look, and through covetousness they shall they with feigned words, that's fake words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So look, okay, here's a group that's coming in, and as they come in, they're going to bring in false doctrine, and this is going to be all about covetousness. We're going to, you know what? Can't preach on that. People will leave and the offerings will go down. Verse 18 and 19, same chapter, 2 Peter 2. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through what? The lust of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. You know what? People had gotten saved. They had left the world behind. They had escaped the world. They were living holy and clean and right and pure. And somebody came along and said, aren't you tired of not being able to participate in this party? You know what? It doesn't matter. Come back over here. You know what? There was a church here in town that at one time, I don't know, just a couple years ago, five fornicating couples were going there at the same time, people just living with each other. Hey, you know what? It doesn't matter how you're living. Just come to church. Put a check in the box. What's wrong with this world? And he says, hey, lust of the flesh, you know, that church, they tell you, you know, they preach on dress down there. We don't. Come on over here. We don't. You can come however you want. Doesn't matter. What, over there, you know, they talk about courtship and right dating and purity and all. Hey, come over here. We'll let you sit in the service with your arm around her. Come on. Come on. Lust of the flesh. Come our direction. We'll do, you know what? It doesn't matter. Verse 19, while they promise them what? Oh, they're legalist over there. Here, over here, you're free. Free love. Free. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. You know what? Sin always breeds bondage. And if people, he's warning them. Say, look, God wants us living holy and clean and right, and the Bible wants that. But there are going to be some people saying, liberty, come over here. You can have apps. You can do whatever you want. You know what? We don't care. We'll let you sing in the choir no matter how you live. And they were warning about this stuff in the Bible time and time and time again. Revelation 2:20. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest. That word sufferest means thou allowest. Okay, to allow. Thou, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. You know, now, I don't know whether this woman's name was actually Jezebel or whether it's taking the biblical principle of Jezebel and applying it to a woman by a different name. But there's some woman came into the church and said, you know what? Hey, you can eat food offered to idols. It doesn't matter. You're free. You have liberty. You know, committing fornication, not a big deal. Well, they forgot to read the rest of the Bible. See, now let me be clear here. We're not talking about men who are new to the Scriptures or women who are new to the Scriptures and they don't know what the Bible says. Okay? With those people, guess what? They need to grow. And, you know, visitors come into church. We're glad for visitors. And you know what? We don't expect visitors to know everything that's written in the book. But, you know, tonight, you're not visitors. You know the book. I've tried to do a very good job of preaching thoroughly the book. We know it. We're not talking about newly saved people who they just got saved and, man, they're living in fornication. They don't know any better yet. The whole world's doing it. They don't have a conscience. Or they've been doing it for years. They don't have a conscience about it. Well, that's not what we're talking about. They're not creepers. They're unaware. We're not talking about men with honest doctrinal questions. Somebody comes up, you know what? Man, somebody was telling me about this Calvinism thing. What do you think about that? Okay, look, if that's just a straightforward, honest question, number one, it's not going to be done in a corner somewhere. People can ask straightforward, honest questions. That's great. We want to be learning. But if it's in a corner somewhere, you got to watch out for it. Now, so we got creeping men. There's your characteristics. Be aware, be watchful of them. Now look at their goal. Go back to Jude. Look at the goal. Jude, verse number 4. For there are certain men crept unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. What is their goal? Their goal is to turn men. Or to turn women. Or to turn teenagers. And they'll do it subtly. It's pretty rare when a person comes up and, I really don't like the way the church does this. What they do is they test it. Hey, what did you think about that? What did you think about that thing that they voted on? Or what did you think about that message that was preached? What did you think about how that happened? You know, what's the goal? Their goal is to turn people. Now, in turning people, they're trying to turn them away from holiness. That's what we see here in Jude. Away from holiness. Away from God the Father that sanctified them. Away from Jesus Christ who preserves them. Toward lasciviousness. When you're turned, you're turning away from something to something. The phrase, it doesn't matter how you live. You know, one that is often common, I do not know why we have to have these rules or qualifications. Watch out. Watch out. Because they're trying to turn to lasciviousness, the opposite of rules. You know, I don't like rules. You know what? If everybody in the world would just do exactly what God wanted them to do, we could live without rules. If everyone would drive exactly correctly, we wouldn't have to have rules on the road. If every person that came to church would live biblically, we wouldn't have to have any qualifications for a choir, right? Get more chairs. We wouldn't have to have qualifications for Sunday school teachers. Look, God, right here, God condemns this action. Notice there, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. God says, these certain creeping men that are trying to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, that are denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, they're denying that Jesus is Lord, that he actually has a right to ask you to do something. He has a right to command you to do something.
Right.
He says, they're condemned. God condemns this action. And Jude is saying, look, we have to have contenders for the faith who are not going to follow this kind of people. Paul had to preach it at Corinth. Peter had to preach it to the churches he preached to. Jude had to preach it to the people that he was involved with. Paul had to preach it at Ephesus there in the book of Acts. Paul had to warn Timothy, a young preacher boy, about it. It was going on then. It's still going on today. And we need the book of Jude. We need the book of Jude. We need to be aware. The reason we have to contend is because there are people on the other team that aren't contending for the faith. They're literally contending against the faith. Now they're claiming, often they're claiming the name of Christ. Where'd they come? They came into the church. They crept in to the church. But they crept in to turn people from the book to the world, from purity to lust, from holiness to unrighteousness, from godliness to ungodliness. And the book of Jude warns about it here, and then he's going to take and run verses 6 through 19, and he is going to lay these people out. Why? It's necessary. It's necessary. We are in a day and age where people often say, why can't we all just be nice and get along? Well, can two walk together except they be agreed? We live in a day and age where if you take a stand for what's right, you are often looked down on. You might be referred to as a troublemaker. We have something to contend for. God didn't save us just to live an ungodly life in this world. He saved us, and we are to contend for the faith we preach this morning. Let's stand to our feet. Father, as we just look to this message tonight, God, we see This was happening then. It's happening now. Father, I pray that we would be a contending church. And Father, I pray that you would help us all to get up and get on the team. Stand against the wickedness of this world. Stand for the righteousness of Christ. Stand for the truth of the Word of God. And I pray that we would be clear in our stance, clear in what we believe. Lord, that as we go out and about, that people would understand that we love the Lord Jesus and we want to contend for His truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays tonight, do you have something to come and pray about? I don't know how God might have spoken to your heart. But boy, we need to be contenders.